Revelation 10, we talked about the trumpets being opened, the fifth and sixth trumpets, just to bear in remembrance and give a reason for this chapter, chapter 10. We covered the, I'm just going to put a synopsis on this, the spirit of Antichrist coming with an angel that fell into the world, and we explained that when we went through it, but the point behind that was the darkness and the lies and the things that at that time started in the world and today, or were already here, but more manifest in the world and seem certainly to be so prevalent this day and age, all things that deny creation and the nature God created and deny the very existence of our Lord and Savior Himself, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We talked about God's punishment upon those who had persecuted the church in a religious fashion and as a national fashion in Rome. And we talked about those who were of the Arabs and the Saracens and those that came in and conquered and drove forth and punished the nation of Rome and what was religiously formed there by men. And we talked about last week the Turks as they came in and the firearms they brought with them, the fire, the brimstone, the smoke. First time those people in that part of the world and recently invented, and the first time they had seen the firearms, the black powder which causes much smoke, the fire to light it, the fire that comes out of the barrel, the smoke and brimstone, how they slaughtered so very many people. History records this. We can see this. We can see this in history, and we can see this spiritually, even in today's times, by the things that are taught by those in powers and principalities of darkness, of Satan, let's clarify that, as they try to deceive God's children. Satan does not need to deceive the natural man. He does not know God. He cannot know God. A child of God cannot know God until he's born of the Spirit and Jesus Christ reveals the Godhead, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit to us. That's the only way to know. That's God's work. That's God's hand. That's Christ's time and Christ's work. The Son of Man quickeneth whom He will. That's His doing. And we thank Him for that. But those in darkness that seek to deceive God's children, this is not going to get any better. This is never going to get any better. Evil men, the Apostle Paul, and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We sit in this world today with all that's going on in our country, the powers of darkness and Satan lying, deceiving, cheating, leading men astray, and all the things they do. And the nation appears that we're about to fall into straight communism. But look around us ourselves, brethren. God blesses us. My life has not changed in one iota other than my heart and my flesh becoming harder because of the evil around us. And God helped me on that. But God's with His people. God blesses His people. God will never leave us nor forsake us. We've got the kingdom of God here. We're able to live and move in this nation, in this world. And God blesses us, just as He blessed those that were persecuted in the days of Rome. Then we talked about those who saw this destruction and saw God's judgment, God's wrath upon those that persecuted His people in the church. God's not concerned per se with the world. Now, God sends rain on the just and the unjust, okay? God's mercy is upon the unjust because God's people are here in the world. And God sends them rain and food and the things that we have. But God's not concerned with the world. God's concern is in the church of the living God, and that is that we walk in Christ and give all glory and honor unto Christ and teach the true doctrine of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's not another doctrine. These people had seen what God did in His judgment upon Rome, and they repented not of their sins. So hard-hearted, so callous. Natural man cannot know God. And that's where we left off last week. Now we began a message today in chapter 10. same apostle, same book of Revelation, same manifestation of the finished work of Jesus Christ, same manifestation of the eternal purpose of God in Christ, which was from when? Before the world was. The same exact purpose being revealed to us. He's just shown us His judgment. He's just shown us His vengeance. And I have to remind myself daily, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is part of God's glory, just as much as His salvation is. I am to live my life as peaceably as I can with all men and ever look unto Christ in humbleness and pray for repentance. Now, chapter 10 begins with a vision to remind us of hope. Lord, gather my thoughts and keep them together, please. This book that we're going through is described by some as beginning and ending with events in history, and we can see events in history. The only problem I have with those who hold that thought that I've read, like Gill, is that they look for a coming kingdom where there will be a 1,000-year reign with Christ. I beg to differ. I do not see that in the Bible. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." We find in Mark chapter 1 the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That is the beginning of the church. The church is here. The church is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. The Spirit of God is within you. Christ is within you. That is the kingdom. Now we're to come into the assembly of the saints and worship. That's what we're told to do, to take up our cross daily and serve the Lord. But the kingdom of God is within you. The Lord is not coming back into this world to do a second time what He's already done once. Okay? That is finished. That is created. It's for us here in the world. He translates us here. He brings us here. We are to walk in this kingdom. For that reason, more than any other, I look at history. I take points in history. I've been trying to point them out here. And I do believe this shows us history, just like the book of Daniel, to a certain point. But there are others, and I fall probably more into this category than any other, who see this book as revealing and revealing and revealing. You'll see, just like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, you will see the same story told four different times, each one manifesting in a different way the finished work of Jesus Christ. What Christ has conquered. The first thing we see is His conquering sin and death. And in Matthew, we see the seed of Abraham, and we see the kingdom in the world. In Luke, we see every child of God all the way back to Adam. Different aspects on things. Not one contradicting another, but all coming together. I look at the book of Revelation more so than any other way in that term. Now, with that said, and I'll give you a proof test. We've already read, I believe, twice so far about Christ's finished work and salvation in Christ. We're about to go into another. Bear with me. He's not coming back to save us eternally again. John 19 and 30, He said, "It is finished." What was finished? All the law and the prophets prophesied that He would do. He saved His people from their sins. Period. That entails much salvation from hell, salvation to glory, salvation temporally in the world, in the church, salvation daily, salvation in society, salvation as He provides for us, and we have food and water and clothing. All these things provided in Christ, and each one gives a different aspect of that. Now, chapter 10. After seeing all this, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Lord have mercy, what a big statement. clothed with a cloud. There was an angel almost destroyed the entire city of Jerusalem because David numbered the people. And he would have destroyed the entire city. He certainly had the power. He was that mighty, but God stayed his hand. Make a point that angels are mightier, Hebrews 1, in power and might than we are. This is not a created angel. This angel is the angel which God said, "Mine angel shall lead thee." That is Christ. This is the angel of the Lord. That is Christ. This is He that was not created as all other things were. This is the angel who was the creator. But in this text, He is revealed as a messenger, as an angel. An angel is a messenger, and an angel fights a battle. That's the two purposes you see in Scripture. Christ reveals unto us the Scripture. There is no way to know God without the Son of God manifesting God the Father to you. There is no way. He's the messenger. Through Christ, we have the ministry. Through Christ, we have revelation of the Scripture. We have understanding of God through Christ. Even if we've never heard a Scripture, even if we've never been in a church, even if we lived in some third world country which has never heard anything about Jesus Christ, if we have love in our heart, and then we still have a knowledge of God because Christ put it there. If we have a conscience, godly sorrow, then God put it there. All that is in the message of Christ that God writes upon our heart in Christ. And we certainly see Christ as a warrior. He fought the battle. He won the victory. He defeated death, and he that had the power over death, that is the devil. He defeats kings. He defeats nations. We just reveal that in chapter 9, proved it by history. This mighty angel has power over everything created in heaven and in earth. John has a vision. John has a revelation of the Son of God. A mighty angel which came down from heaven. He came from the Father at a time ordained of God, that God would had ordained that Christ would save His people. And all the work and all the entails that Christ was meant to do that is revealed to us in each book of the Bible in a different way. A lot of times, the four Gospels and in this book. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. I can't leave without saying this. The Son of God, the second person of the eternal Godhead, the eternal Son of God, the living Word of God by which the worlds were framed, laid the glory of the Godhead aside, came into this world in the body of a sinful man, and died for us. Do you love Him? He died for you. Or you would not love Him. You would have no knowledge of Him as your Savior. You would hate Him as God if you were not saved already by Him and born of the Spirit of God. This mighty angel came down from heaven to this earth. And I'll say this again. He did it one time. He finished the work the Father gave Him to do. And He will not step foot in this sin-cursed earth again. When we meet Him, we will meet Him in the air. He will be in the body of the Son of Man with the holes in his side and hands and feet in His glory. And He will be so bright, man can't look upon Him, for our God is a consuming fire. And we'll touch on that next. He came down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. Let's go to the first place that comes to my mind, and that is in the book of Exodus. And I gave you this some while shortly ago, but I'm going to give it to you again. Bring it in remembrance. this angel, I want you to see and let me prove to you who this angel is. There's no way to know God but in Christ. If you hear God, it's in Christ. If you see God, since God is a spirit, the invisible God, it's in the Son of God, Christ. He walked with Adam in the garden. Adam saw Christ. He sat in the tent door of Abraham in the heat of the day. That was Christ. You cannot see the Father or the Holy Spirit. You see Christ. He reveals the Father. He reveals the Godhead. That's the only way. When Moses went up to the bush that burned with that fire and was not consumed, that was Christ in that bush which burned and was not consumed, manifesting the eternalness and the eternal glory of the very Son of God. And he heard him speak. That was Christ. You can't hear God with any other way. But God is a God of glory. He's clothed with a cloud. So therefore in Exodus 20, when God appeared on the mountain and Christ was there, there's a great cloud upon the mountain. We cannot look upon God. I believe it's in Habakkuk 1, about 13, where it says to the effect that God cannot look upon iniquity. Now don't get confused. Immediately he says, but thou hast beheld us. God cannot look upon iniquity. God is right, true, holy, and just. He is a burning fire. It would consume sin and iniquity. That's why he laid the glory of the Godhead aside to be born in this world. So how has he beheld us? In Christ. In Christ. Who do we preach? Christ. Who do we love? Christ, our Lord, our God, our Savior. God manifest in the flesh. God appeared in the cloud. There upon the top of the ark, a mercy seat. We see God appearing in the cloud. How did he appear in the cloud? Christ. No way to know God, no way to see God, other than Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. There was a cloud because we cannot look upon God. We're sin. Why was Adam driven from the garden? He was a sinner. He could no longer walk with God. He could no longer see God with his eyes. Came in flesh. Because of flesh. Made a point with that. Let me move. Job 26. It's talking about God. Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. Here's my point. Next two verses. He stretched out the north over the empty place. You're talking about a black hole? That's where he hung it. And hangeth the earth upon nothing. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds. Listen to this. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. He holdeth back the face of his throne and spreadeth his cloud upon it. That is an illustration teaching us of the cloud, of the barrier between sinful man and his flesh and his nature, a worm, and the safety, the cloud, that we be not consumed of God. This angel that came down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. He is our Lord and our God and our Savior. And a rainbow was upon his head. Many men say, I know Gil does, and I will agree with him on this point. There's one more. Maybe it's Barnes, that the rainbow represents a covenant that God made. And I'm going to touch on that too for just a minute. You look back when God flooded the earth, destroyed everything that had the breath of life in it. God placed his bow in the sky. That's the rainbow. What was the purpose of that? That we would see God's covenant, and that God would see his covenant. And that rainbow is there as a manifestation of that. What was that covenant for? That's not for heaven and immortal glory. That's a covenant in this temporal world. That's important. We walk daily in a vile, dark world. We've got God's covenant. That bow shows us that, brings us in remembrance of it. And that bow is over Christ, that God would no more destroy the world with a flood. I had marked a place here with my ribbon. I want to give you that. Ezekiel, I gave you this a few months ago. I'm going to give it to you again. This is Ezekiel. Bear in mind where he was at in bondage by the river Chebar, with all the children of God, every one there. And he alone, the Spirit moved expressly, exactly where Christ wanted it to move in His grace and sovereign providence upon or unto Ezekiel. And Ezekiel saw these visions of what? God. Who is he seeing here? God. Chapter 26, verse 1, and above the firmament in heaven that was over their heads with the likeness of a throne. Who sits upon the throne? We're in the book of Revelation. We're going to come over to 19. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Who sits upon the throne? The eternal King of glory. Always has been, always will be. Over their heads, far above us, was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of a throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man. That's my point. God is a spirit. This is the Son of God manifested, God the Father and the Godhead. The likeness of a man upon the throne, but he's above it. He's higher than the throne, and he is upon it. He's sitting on the throne, ruling and reigning in judgment, even with them in bondage. He is ruling and reigning. Do not forget that today. As darkness has come again upon our government, and Satan will reign for a while, but God is still on the throne. Never forget that. And God's providence is still in our lives. Never forget that. And this man is the Son of Man. And I saw as the color of amber, the appearance of fire round about it. Our God is a consuming fire. That's His glory. What is that glory? Hebrews 1 says Christ is the express image of His person, the brightness of His glory. Who is Ezekiel looking at? That fire, that consuming fire, is the glory of God. That is Christ. From the appearance of His loins even upward, from the appearance of His loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. This is why we must have a shield, a cloud, as the appearance of the bow. There's the rainbow. His glory, the rainbow, in the cloud, in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness, the glory of the Lord, Christ. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face and heard a voice of one that spake. Okay. Revelation 10, I saw another angel come down from heaven. This is Christ, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow, was upon, not just over or around, it was upon Him. It rests upon Him. The covenant rests upon Him. The covenant of the rainbow, the covenant eternal, predestination, the election of grace, salvation to the children of God, the blood of the Lamb, the kingdom of God, heaven and immortal glory. The covenant is upon Him. It all rests on Him. It's His work. It's His doing. It's His purpose. Jesus Christ. Doesn't sound like the weak wimp the world preaches, does it? It was upon His head. His knowledge and His face was as it were the sun, so bright you cannot look into it. Matthew 17, giving you this before, Jesus appeared, He was transfigured before them, and they saw Him as He shone as the brightness of the sun. His glory, which we cannot behold, and His feet as pillars of fire. He carries us through the trials and tribulations of this world. From the foundation of the church up to the time in history, we've been teaching about the fall of Jerusalem and the fall of Rome. and the great power of religion in government once had. And Mohammedism. He carries us through that. He carried them through that. Some delivered to death, the greatest deliverance of all. Some allowed to suffer and still live in this world, giving glory to God. He suffers these things. He carries us today. His feet are pillars of fire. He walked through great trial and tribulation when He lowered Himself into this world. He carries us through trial and tribulation and death while we live in this world. But we are sojourners here in this world. We're pilgrims. We're here just a little while. We're not from this place. We're from heaven, the reign of God, the immortal glory. We're just here. Our life's a vapor. Short time. And we're gone to our home. But while we're here, He cannot leave us. He cannot forsake us. He carries us every moment of every day that we live here in this world. I'll go further than that. When we die and our spirit goes to Christ, He watches over our sleeping body. He knows where it's at. Go over there and look. Some of them without headstones in the cemetery. God knows who's there. He keeps it. He kept it. It's His. Christ died for it. And His sovereign power, He will raise it up. He knows exactly where it's at. Every iota of every cell, of every atom of our body, He knows where it's at. He keeps it. Because you belong to Him. He died for you. He loves you. How can somebody think that if the Lord of glory left heaven and laid the glory aside and came to this world and loved you enough to suffer and bleed and die for you, that you could ever fall away eternally? God forbid. You've got a different Savior than I see and that I know. And I know Him because He picks me up daily. And I'm thankful. And He had in His hand a little book open. Great speculation on this little book. Some people say He's revealing this book. Well, He does reveal this book. He reveals every book of the Bible, all from Genesis to this book, Revelation. Well, this book needs special attention. We may need to study it more and take it in context, but this book is like every other book of the Bible. It manifests Christ and Him crucified. Now, what I do see, and I'll tell you that, what I believe, I'm going to say what I see. That's something nobody should say. I see this and I see that. What I believe, I'm fixing to tell you, is I have no different sight than anybody else that God hath given it to. He gives to each man a measure of faith. And He gives us the same truth in the Bible. Now, He had in His hand a little book. This book, I believe, represents the testimony of Christ. Not the entirety, so to speak. You could not pin it. The world could not contain it. But a little bit. What did He say in Job 26? These are but parts of His ways. Just a little glimpse of God while we live in these sinful flesh. While we walk in this world. Somebody says it was the book He opened in chapter 5. It's part of it. It may be the whole thing. I don't have that knowledge. But I'm telling you what I believe. Just a little bit that we see. Solomon said, I saw Him through the lattice. Look through the blinds. Just a glimpse of Him. That's all we have in this world. And how overwhelming is that glance when Christ blesses us to see it. Imagine, brethren, when we shall see Him as He is. Oh. And He had in His hand a little book open and He said, listen to this. He set His. This is Christ. This is the one they portray as a beggar begging you, come to me. And the doctrines of wind that flow through the world. This is him who they deny as being the Son of God and set the pedophile Muhammad above. He sets one foot in the sea and one foot on the earth, signifying his power over all things created. Amen. It is so. They are created by him. He has power over them. My daddy's foolish old sister's another boy. Tell you all this stuff. The boogeyman's going to get you. The boogeyman's going to get you. I'm going to tell you, I might turn and walk in misery. And if I do, I pray God gives me the repentance. It wouldn't be the first time. But I'm going to tell you what. The boogeyman is not going to get me or you if you love God, because you're sealed by the Spirit of God in the blood of Christ. He bought you. He died for you. The Creator of heaven and earth, who has power over all things, and he will never, ever, ever forsake you. That's gospel truth. And he had in his hand a little book open. He set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. I think about, remember that old commercial? The Jolly Green Giant standing there with his arms crossed. There's a strong creature, a giant on the earth. Mr. Clean used to make those commercials. Was that strong? Was it a genie? And he'd stand there with his arms crossed, so big. This is Christ, the Son of God. One foot upon the sea because he created it and he controls it. One foot upon the earth because he created it and he controls it. And he controls everything within the sea and everything on the earth. If you want to go into types and shadows, although that's the Old Testament, or you want to see something spiritual about that and make that the sea of time, that's dandy with me, because he controls everything in that too. And cried with a loud voice. John's mentioned that before. A loud voice. A clear, affirmative, amen, declaration. Well, you got to do this, that, and other. You got to come to the Lord. Christ did not ask you, come to me. That is a declaration. Come to me. And it's not given to the dead alien sinner. It's given to those who are troubled. Those who are born of the Spirit of God. That labor and are heavy laden. With a loud voice, clear, everyone, every bit of creation can hear and understand either that he is the God of terror or the God of grace, depending on who you are. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Some say these were the seven evangelists. Some say they were seven different apostles and seven different churches, perhaps the ones, the angels of the churches back over in Revelation 1 and 2, and 3 and 4. But I think that what we're saying here, with seven being in a complete number, I believe this is talking about commandments of Christ or of the Father. Because there's no way to hear the Father but through the Son, given to us. Things, declarations. I won't say commandments, I'll say declarations, points, amens, visions, what's happening, what has happened, what's going to happen. When the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write. Catch this. Let's go back to Daniel 12:4. Another symbolical book. And you'll see pretty much the same thing worded in chapter 12. Seal it up. It's not for them to know. It's not for them to know. What's he saying here? Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. Many, and I won't dispute this, I've told you before, many theologians believe that this book, and I agree with this, as we live and time passes, more and more things are revealed that are written in this book. And I agree with that. I do. But I also full well believe, and this is my main thought, that those things are sealed up because it is not given to us to know them. The secret things belong to God. We have what is revealed to us. Our flesh cannot bear the knowledge of God. Again, Job 26, these are parts of His ways. Just a glimpse to the last. I believe this is talking about that everything that happened and everything that will happen and what all the way up to the day of judgment, the resurrection of the dead, and into heaven and immortal glory, where Paul said from 2 Corinthians 12 or 1 Corinthians 12, I'd have to go find it, I don't have to mind or recall, that he heard things which are not lawful to be uttered, things we can't see, things we can't understand, things we could not even exist in this body of flesh if we knew, because it's sin and we must be changed. But one day, we shall see Him as He is. I don't think we'll ever fully understand and grasp the glory and the power of God, but we'll see a whole lot more of it. You cannot, I cannot, we could not begin to describe or imagine. I love that song, I Can Only Imagine. I can only imagine, will I dance for You? What will I do, Lord? I can imagine, I can think about it. Sometimes I drift off into a place where I think about things like that and I thank God for it, but I don't know. It's not given to us, it's sealed up. But that's just a longing to see Christ when you think about those things earnestly. Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea, stand upon the sea. Not just walking on water, stand upon the sea. There are the typhoons. There are the hurricanes. There are the winds. You notice in Job, about chapter 38, I believe, the Lord spoke out of a whirlwind to Job. Do we ever realize that when we're going through trials and tribulations, whether it's persecution, death of a loved one, betrayal of friends, stresses, political oppression, religious persecution. Do we not understand in those times, many times in that trial, God speaks out of that trial. God speaks out of that whirlwind. I mentioned this with my brother the other day. It's why he says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. You can do nothing about it. You can't change it. You can't do anything with yourself without the providence of God and grace in your life. Be still. Listen to that still, small voice Elijah heard while he was hiding from Ahab and Jezebel. What did he say? What are you doing here? Go! Do what I told you to do. That's what we're to do. Why are we hiding and doing these things? Go serve God. Go magnify Christ in your body. Be still. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven. That's a declaration. That's a sign of an affirmation of His covenant and His power. Lifted up His hand to heaven. And swear by Him that liveth forever and ever. That's not a created angel. That is God. The Creator. Who created heaven. Now let's clarify that. God has no beginning. Beyond all these things created are God. You remember me telling you a year or so back about when we went up camping when I was a boy. My friend and I took our shotguns and went in the woods. We decided we were going to spend the night. And we built a fire on top of a rock on a mountain, one of my favorite places to go. You can see the glory of God manifested in creation below in the forest. You can see the glory of God in the heaven at night. And as I lay there that night looking at the stars, and some were so far away and some appeared to be so close, and even they're far away, I'll never get to them. Wondering in a fleshly mind, well, that star's way behind that star. What's behind that star? Then the thought comes up, well, where whatever's behind that star ends, what's past there? And finite eyes, things like that, cannot be seen. We don't know what's there. We wonder, does it stop? If it does stop, then what's next? The answer to all those things, beyond all creation, is God. Period. Now, by Him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, that is the heaven of the stars, He created that, and the planets and the universes, the millions of universes. How great is God? He knows them all by name. The air which we breathe, the area between the two, the heavens, the atmosphere, the created heaven that God made. Now I know the Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you, and that is in His kingdom. But you understand this, He is eternal and He is the kingdom of God. He is preparing a place for us. It won't be needed until we leave this sinful place, but it will be there. Didn't say in that either. He created it, said He prepared a place for us. Prepared. Let that sink in. He swear by Him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, everything, creepy, crawly, beasts, fish, birds, fowl, all, sun, moon, stars, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which therein are, that there should be time no longer. Those who view this book as leading us up to a time of a reign where Christ will come into the world and reign 1,000 years, will tell you, they're saying that this goes up to that point in time, that time is nigh. Now I contend and can prove to you in my mind, heart, and soul from Scripture, the kingdom of God is already here. Jesus told the Pharisees, say not here nor there, for the kingdom of God is within you. You're alive, you're in the kingdom. The hour is coming, and now is in His day. The dead in trespass and sin shall hear the voice of the Son of God, life itself, and shall live. The kingdom is here. So, time should be no longer. This, in an aspect of it, temporally speaking, is explaining that everything that God declared, decreed, is coming to pass. The time is at hand. We see that not only in this book and in other books of the gospel. The time is at hand. I pray every day, Lord, hasten Thy coming if it is possible, if it is Thy will. I'm not trying to change the mind of God. I'm not trying to alter the mind of God. I'm doing what He tells me to do in the last words of this very book. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm tired of this place. I'm tired of this sin. I'm tired of me. I'm tired of my cruel, hard heart. I know I hate evil. I know that's the right thing to do, but vengeance is the Lord, help me, please. Come quickly. Deliver us from this place. Time should be time. There should be time no longer. Of course, this also has the eternal
example that the Lord's going to appear in the eastern sky. In a moment. Twinkling of an eye. Blink. How quick is that? Blink. That's how long it's going to take Him? He will gather His people, His sheep, on His right hand. They'll meet Him in the air, not in this sin-cursed earth. He won't enter this sin-cursed earth again. If He did, it'd be destroyed. He's not laying the glory of the Godhead aside again. His work here is finished. He'll gather His people. When He appears, this world will be dissolved in fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Sin cannot exist before God. It'll be destroyed. And the wicked, the goats, He'll sit on the left side. Time will be no longer. It will be purely eternal. No sin. No hatred. No sorrow. No death. No sickness. No disease. Perfection. Satisfaction. No COVID. No cripple. No spinal bifida. No depression. No anger. No anxiety. Perfect. Perfect. We can't imagine that. There's never been a time in our life where we went very long without something troubling us mentally, emotionally. Hurt feelings. To me, that's worse than physical pain. None of that. None of that. No more living with, I wish I'd never thought that. I wish I didn't say that. I wish I didn't do that. It'll all be joy that Christ has taken us from it. Time will be no more. We won't have to live with the wicked. We won't have to see and bear with the wicked. We won't have to walk cautiously in this world. We won't have to suffer persecution and see evil reign over men. And swear this angel, Christ, swear by Him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which they are therein, that there should be time no longer. Time is gone. Eternity reigns. And that is Christ. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, seven angels, the mystery of God should be finished. Again, John 19:30, it is finished. Salvation was finished upon the cross. The mystery of God shall be finished when there will be time no longer. Let me try to say it plainly. When Christ appears and the wicked, because God is a God of vengeance, and no, He don't love everybody. He don't love wicked. Well, how can God not love everybody? How can God love anybody? We're all wicked. We're depraved by nature. There's not one that seeketh after God of his own self. When the wicked are banished and punished, when the children of God, Jew, Gentile, male, female, every race, every denomination, every people, every nation, every family, every tongue, among whom God's elect have come from, not just the Jew, not just Old Testament Israel, everyone elect from before the foundation of the world, according to the purpose of grace, the election of grace, the purpose of Jesus Christ, will stand in heaven and immortal glory eternally. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. When will it be finished?
when we all get to heaven. So people, I hear people more educated than me, and most of them are either a lawyer or something. One's a county commissioner, talk about adoption and how the adoption is not complete. It's drawn up. It's made. It's executed. But it's not complete until the child goes home with the parent. When we go home to our Father, when we see our elder brother Jesus Christ, then the adoption is complete. Then the purpose of God is finished. And we'll stand with Him forevermore, as He hath declared to the prophets. I was planning on doing all this today, but I didn't. We'll start there next week, Lord willing, verse 8. John's going to take this little book, and he's going to begin to preach.